This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 12th of April, 2017. My name's Patrick Smith. It's the last show of this season. And as you can imagine, we've got a weekend's worth of games to go through. Davey and Simon will be along in just a moment to talk about that. We're also joined this week by Colin Shields in a very special announcement that we have to make there. We'll cast our eye over a few of the playoff rumours that went across the weekend, and we'll tackle your TFAs. But before we can do any of that for the last time this season, hit that music. Well, as the curtain comes down on another season for the Belfast Giants, we can sit and reflect on how we thought it went. I'm personally quite upbeat. We did score 15 goals at the weekend, after all. Welcome to this week's A View from the Bridge, and joined, as always, first of all, by a man who didn't get to see the game on Saturday, but arrived just in time to get treated by the physiotherapist. How are you, Mr. McGimsey?
I'm okay now, mate. I'd like to thank her very much. She looked after me fantastically well.
Your legs got waxed as well. That was quite entertaining.
I think she enjoyed that part the most.
And also joining us, a man I sat next to for the final. And he bought me a Magnum, but that caused me to go to the toilet. Two flushes. How are you, Mr. Mr. Kitchen?
I'm all good, Pally. I'm all good.
That Magnum went right through me.
Come on, boys.
It was very tasty.
Family show.
Right. An interesting weekend for the Giants. A disappointing one, nonetheless, but we'll deal with that. We'll start with that straight away, actually. The Belfast Giants took on the Sheffield Steelers in Saturday's second semi-final in the playoff weekend. They, unfortunately, were subject to a 2-0 defeat. The Steelers' goals coming from Debian in the first period and a Nelson empty net goal. That eliminated them from the playoff weekend. They went on to the third, fourth place game. We'll come back to that, no doubt. In goals, Stephen Murphy made 16 saves from 17 shots, while Evans Mustikovs had a shutout, 31 from 31. Your referees were Toby Craig and Tom Perring. And Simon, Giants had all the puck. They had all the play. They outshot Sheffield almost 2-1, yet they lost the game. What happened?
Do you know what, Paddy? I mean, we had a conversation with Sarah, whatever, I can't remember.
McFarland.
Sarah McFarland on Sunday. Was it Sunday? Yep. Saturday was it Sunday?
Sunday. We saw her on Sunday.
And to be honest with you, she said it was an absolute disgrace. You know, they didn't play well, blah, blah, blah. I think she must have been watching another game. I thought we were brilliant. Mm-hmm. I thought we played, we controlled the play. You know, Murphill, I don't think he'll be too happy with himself in the goal from Debian. I think he should have done better on that. But that's the only mistake we made. In my opinion, that's the only mistake we made on Saturday evening. You know, we literally looked as if we were hungry for it. We looked as if we were right up for it itself. I don't think we worked Mustikovs as hard as we should have. But overall, you know, I thought it was one of our better games of the whole season. Disappointing not to, to proceed to the final, and obviously Sheffield went on and ended up winning the bloody thing. But, you know, I thought we played really, really well, and unfortunately just came up a bit short. And, you know, the empty net goal when you're chasing a one-goal deficit is it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes it comes back to bite you in the backside, which it did on this occasion. But I thought we did very, very well, but just couldn't put the puck past Mustikovs.
Davey, it was one of those frustrating games we were talking about way back in October, where the Giants were maybe having a lot of possession, having a lot of chances, but nothing really concrete. Credit to the Sheffield Steelers. Once they got that lead, they were able to defend it. They were able to push the Giants to the outside and let Mustikov see absolutely everything that was coming his way. But just as the game went on, the frustration started to build and build.
Yeah, you know, take nothing away from the Sheffield Steelers' defensive performance, because obviously, you know, we've rained a lot of shots in from the outside, as you've said there. You know, they boxed us out, they kept us to the perimeter, and sometimes that's when you're looking for someone to try and do a little bit different and get in front of Moose. Or, you know, we didn't get enough shots with enough traffic, and we talked about, you know, Mustakov's enough through the season that he's prone to maybe giving you a secondary scoring opportunity, and we didn't really get very many of them. Maybe one gilt-edged chance came to Rudy towards the end of the game that, you know, that was probably the one massive opportunity to tie the game up. But you know, you look at the Sheffield Steelers, they go on the following day and put five goals past probably the meanest and the best defence in the league. So you know, to come away with only conceding one goal against them, you know, we're not going to give too much credit to an empty netter with, you know, with on the power play. You know, we conceded one goal to them. We had the horses the whole game with 31 shots. We outshot them every period, you know, 11-7, 11-6, 9-5. You know, we took the game to Sheffield. And as Tomo said in his interview after the game, you know, they bent and they bent and they bent, but they didn't break. I think there was a few players came out with that statement as well. You know, the Giants took the game to them through every section. Now, Stephen Murphy made some saves in that game that he had no right to. And Simon said, you know, that he'll maybe want the goal back because it's gone in short side. But there's other saves he's made there that, you know, when you look back on, he didn't really have any business saving them. So, disappointing end of the season, but you know, as Simon has also said there, the performance, you know, you can't take positives at this stage of the season because this is it done. You know, it's just the book end, so it's not like you take something from this going into next season or anything. You know, this is the rubber stamp on the end of the season, so it's very, very disappointing, and that brings up more questions about, you know, is a one game decider the right thing to do, or should it be a 5-7 game series? You know, is that the, you know, because these teams are so evenly matched, and 5-on-5, there's been nothing between them all season long, and there was nothing between them in a game. There's one goal, yeah. One shot separated them through 60 really, really good minutes of hockey that the Giants were probably, and no problem about it. The Giants were the better team on Saturday night, and sometimes you don't always get the reward. It's corny to say you got beaten, you can be the better team, but that was the case on Saturday night. And I think the Sheffield Steelers were magnanimous enough, and it's easy to be magnanimous when you've won, of course. But to say, you know, this wasn't our best game, the Giants played well, they kept the pressure on us, but we were able to keep them perimeter, we were able to box them out, as we said at the start there, and they came away, sadly, with a win.
I have to agree with both you, gentlemen. I thought we were outstanding on Saturday, and as the game went on and on and on, it just, the frustration built. When are we going to get inside? When are we going to just get that penetration in the ozone and just get really right up in the Mustakov's face, which we weren't getting? And Simon, David mentioned it there, the chance to Rutherford, that it looked easier to score than it was to miss, and just so frustrating, went right across the line.
Yeah, it was the puck was bobbling all over the place all night, in fairness. And it bobbled over the top of his stick in the second attempt. Sort of, I don't even think Mustakov's got anything on the second attempt. He tried to literally, you know, jam it in the back door, and it went straight under him and out the other side. And, you know, then it comes down to 2.5 minutes to go, and we get called for the too many men on the ice. And,
well, what about that? Because just on that too many men, now we had the four-man system. Obviously, I said we had Toby Craig and Tom Pering, but with Lee Young and Alan Ward on the lines. We're trying to get back into the game, and Mike Forney gets, or basically Mike Forney sits for a too many men penalty with just what, 2:15 on the clock. There's been nothing called in that game. There have been three penalties previous, a delay game that Derek Walser was just, it was just silly. He knew what he did. You call for, you see how annoyed he was at himself. A little bit harsh, but it went. A high sticking, which is the easiest call of the weekend for Leduc, and Davey Phillips for hooking. But for the rest of the game, we saw all of it go. All of it. We even saw it on Sunday. We saw so much go. And we'll come back to the final later on in the show. But to be called for too many men, I think it was the linesman Lee Young who called it, but call it that stage of the game when the Giants are trying to fight. It seemed soft, is what I'm trying to think of, what I'm aiming for.
Listen, you're 100% right, Paddy, and I couldn't believe he called it. I mean, if anything, you know, he was a stride away from the bench. He didn't touch the puck. It didn't go anywhere near him. The guy that came on the ice didn't touch the puck. And from what we're led to believe, it was Lee Young that called. And I spoke to Stephen Hogarth after the game. We were walking up the in the town, and Stephen Hogarth says it wasn't Lee Young that called it.
All right,
it would be irrelevant who called it. But the bottom line is it wasn't a penalty, and it literally the last 2.5 minutes.
Not in a playoff game.
Not the playoff semi final. As I say, you basically kept your whistle away the more or less the whole night. I mean, that game was less than 2 hours. It took less than 2 hours. That's how quick the game, basically disappeared on us. And they call that too many men on the ice. I thought it was just absolutely ludicrous and really just took the momentum away for us. We're really, pushing the Sheffield Steelers at that stage, trying to get in on it and be positive every time we got to anywhere near their end. But it just really took the steam out of the engine and ultimately ended with an empty net goal going the other way.
With a four-man system, I guess, Davey, that's the, you want things. We talked about it last week about maybe too much being called, or I thought too much was being called in the first leg of the quarter final and the second leg being better. In this, we were seeing nothing being called. So to see a too many men that was so borderline being called in the final 3 minutes of a game when you're chasing, it's just frustrating.
Frustrating that wasn't season defining or anything. With 2 minutes, you've got the opportunity to pull Stephen Murphy for the extra man, because we haven't really had that opportunity. We've had one power play all night long and we looked pretty slick on it, to be fair. And get that opportunity, the risk reward obviously of having the empty net and letting them have pot shots at you, but you have the opportunity, as small as it may be, to get an extra man on the ice. And for that, too many men. As you said at the start, I've watched the game back now, but I was listening to it on Radio 5 Live with fantastic coverage on 5 Live Sports Extra from Seth and Ashley Tate.
Yeah.
And they both said at the time, my goodness, that is one of the softest calls you will see. And especially for a game, the context, the time of the game, what was at stake and what had been called previously. And the borderline, plenty of, you could probably go back through that game tape and find 10 worse incidents of players being more than a good stride away from the bench that weren't called. So it's frustrating because you want the right calls to be made. And I suppose if it had gone the other way, you would have been saying, well, they had too many men on the ice. But frustrating more than anything that, it's gone against us at that stage of the game.
We did do some post-game interviews, so let's hear from them. Following the win for the Sheffield Steelers with the Belfast Giants, I'm joined by Paul Thompson, coach. Demian takes that shot on Murphy, goes over his glove. You hold that lead, you take it all the way. The Giants give you everything they've got, but you hold it back. You must be pleased.
I am, because we were under a lot of pressure at points. I mean, the first and second period, we had a lot of... You had a lot of offensive zone time, but you weren't really getting inside. And, every shot's charted and stuff. So I was quite comfortable with the shots Moose was seeing and where they were coming from. You kicked back in the third period. But like I said, from the 50-minute mark, I just felt that, the energy on the bench was strong. We knew we weren't playing great with the puck, but we were playing great without it. And we were making it very difficult for the Giants to get inside. But they were relentless tonight. They gave it everything they had, but that's what happens to good teams. We've been going at it all year, and it's been nip and tuck all year. And we got the job done tonight.
Referees let everything go, let everything play. The game was really out there.
Yeah, I thought it was good though. I thought they both refed. I think both games have been refed well. I mean, it's not a dirty league anymore, and I think sometimes penalties get called that don't interfere with the possession of any team. And I think it was the same. It was a committed game, and we've had great games all year. And we're not dirty sides. We're not going out there to cheap shot each other. And we're going out there to try and win a hockey game. And we came out the right way today. But like I said, the Giants played a great game.
You've had real battles against Cardiff. You've got another one coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. We got to regroup now and got to get the boys back on the bus while everybody else has got a nice comfy bed at the hotel.
Thanks, coach.
Cheers.
Joint post game by Adam Keefe. Kiefer, I don't know what to say. It feels like we dominated that game, but just couldn't find the net.
Yeah, I thought the guys played well. They bought in well. I think you started to see us creating some chances, but they weren't going in for us. And then the guys squeezing their sticks, and then kind of plant that seed of doubt in your mind if we're going to get one or not. We need an ugly one, and the second chances are the ones that we needed tonight. They kept us to the outside a little bit, so you got to get to the net. And when a goalie's seeing everything, you got to get in front of them. You got to make it ugly for them, and we didn't do that tonight. So It's what it is, you know.
How frustrating is it when you're in a position where you're obviously dominant, you've got a lot of possession, you're really putting a press on them, but just can't find the back of the net? It must be difficult when you're on the bench, you're just trying to keep the guys motivated.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of skill in that room, and a lot of guys competed the entire season, and tonight was no different. Thought they were great tonight as well, just the puck didn't go in the net for them, and you know, that's the part that hurts. You know, those guys deserve more than we've got this season, and it didn't go in the back of the net tonight, and unfortunately we let that one in. You know, sometimes you think you're going to get that back, and in a game like this, they're not easy to come by.
When it comes to looking back on this game and the season as a whole, how do you look at it?
I think the guys were great. I think we had a good season. But, you know, you have to find that next level, those big games. We didn't fare too well in the big, big games this season, and that's the difference between winning the league title, winning playoffs, winning Challenge Cup. You got to show up in those big games, and you got to take it to them. But, you know, it's a great season, great group of guys. You know, like I said, throughout the lineup, you could see guys putting forth their best effort every night and putting pucks in the net. And I feel bad for them tonight that it didn't click and go in. And we had our chances. I think we have a chance for them. You know, obviously, we would like to get another power play there. And it's just unfortunate there with the too many men going at the end. It's not the first time in playoffs that's happened to us. And it's just a real bad way to go out. Kind of kills the momentum. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
Difficult way to end the season. Give it with that. Thanks for speaking to us.
Yeah, it's not the way we've seen it happen. And you see it every year, year after year, these damn playoffs. So keep passing me by. And that's tough. You know, we have to get up tomorrow morning and play a third place game. You know?
Do you really care about that?
No, not at all. But, you know, I assume Andrew Dixon will be in the net, and I'll be playing hard for him. And I think that's important. You know, he's there for us all year long, and you know, it's not fair to him for guys not to show up and give at least a valid effort. And, I'm sure Dundee will be the same for that game. But in terms of third place, you know, nobody's congratulating me for third place. So it's a tough one to take tonight, and I'm sure it'll be a great game between Cardiff and Sheffield for the finals, but I thought we deserved more tonight. I thought we deserved more of the season. Unfortunately, we didn't get the bounces tonight.
Thanks, Kiefer.
Cheers.
Joined post-game by Jim Vandermeer. Just saying to Kiefer there, that's a difficult way to go out. I thought that overall the Giants had the run it, but just couldn't find the back of the net.
Yeah, I think that's the way hockey goes sometimes. Sometimes you throw everything at them, and you outplay them quite a bit, and you just can't seem to put the puck in the net, and you know, it's really disappointing for the guys, the group, but yeah.
Sheffield, they had a game plan, they took their lead, they held it, they pushed you guys back, they pushed shots into the outside. How frustrating was that?
You know, it's nothing different than they've done all year, really. You know, they're a quick strike team, so we wanted to make sure we limited our turnovers, and thought we did that pretty well, and you know, we didn't give them much, so I wish it was, you know, playoffs. You had a couple of games or something like that, but this is the way it is, and it's just disappointing that we're not playing for the cup tomorrow.
It's the first time you've come into this atmosphere, this playoff atmosphere in the Elite League. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think it was pretty cool. I have all the fan sections. There, you know, teams that aren't in it, a lot of their fans are here, so I think it's really cool. So it's definitely an experience.
Sum up the season for yourself.
What's that?
How, sum up the season for yourself and for the Giants. Frustrating.
Frustrating because we're right there. You know, we had a really good year, and to not come up with anything, it's really disappointing. Frustrating for sure because you know, you look at the point totals last year. We should have been right there for the league title, and we had an idea what the numbers would be, and we were right there. And you know, Cardiff had a heck of a year.
Thanks for your time. Following the semi-final, I'm joined by Coach Derek Walser. Coach, I don't know, I was just, like, I've spoken to Jim Vandermeer, I've spoken to Adam McKeith, and I would say the same thing to you. I don't know how we lost that game, because we were dominant through the game.
It was the best game we played all year. I had them prepare. The guys bought in. They worked their tails off. We had a great week. And we executed 100% almost everything we did. We executed almost 100%. And that just shows you Sheffield did a great job protecting the goalie, blocking shots. But you know what? It just wasn't meant to be. We had opportunities. They had opportunities. But for the fans, it should have been a hell of a game for them to watch because it was exciting being part of it. And for the experience for the guys, I think a lot of guys are going to remember this one. And they're going to want to get back here next year and fix what happened this year.
You said that they, you know, they protected and they blocked a lot of shots. That seemed to be it. They seemed to get their lead, and they seemed to just to push back and force you on the outside. And everything Irvin Mustakov sees from the outside, he saves.
He's a good goalie. Rebounds were there. We had some looks. You know, we had some good tips. We had opportunities. We just couldn't find one to get one by them. And you got to get inside their pressure. We just didn't penetrate enough. But, you know, it's not like they penetrated us a lot. They had one shot, one goal, and then, you know, empty net goal. I mean, I think the chances, I'm pretty sure we probably doubled them in chances. We deserved a better faith, but again, when that team, like Sheffield, you got to come and play, and we came to play, and they just found a way to grit it out, and I just hopefully have enough energy to compete with Cardiff tomorrow, because I hope it's a good game also.
The thing about this game as well is the fact that the teams are 50-50. You've seen, we've been with Sheffield all season. We spoke earlier in the week, and you said exactly that, the fact that these, you get good games out of these teams, and that's exactly what you had today.
God, there's more guys. There's more chatter and talk, and guys, like, it was intense. Guys hitting each other. It was up and down hockey, clean. That's what the league's got to look at, folks. The speed of that game, people can watch how fast that game was going up and down the ice. There's hardly any whistles for the first two periods. That's what hockey is about. The toughness, the hitting, going to the net, battling from whistle to whistle, that's what grows the game. That's what grows people to get interested because it's extremely fast. And it's exciting when it's going like that. And you know what? I can't take anything. I can't look at the game and sit there, oh, we could have, should have. I'll be 100 years old and stressed out by the time I hit 50 if I worry about everything. I'm just going to hang out with the guys tonight, have some fun, and then hopefully show up tomorrow feeling okay to play, because right now I'm feeling pretty darn old right now. But it was a good game. I'm not going to sit here and cry and show a sad face. I'm disappointed. Trust me, people, I'm disappointed. But the work ethic these guys put in from day one to now, anyone would have been behind closed doors and saw how these guys, how much committed they were, they would understand why I'm not that disappointed.
You came here last year, you watched and you've come and played in this atmosphere. What's it like?
It's unique. I had a great time. So excited. That's what I want the guys to experience. And sometimes you got to lose to figure out how to win. Now you see what it's like. You experience. Now you're going to want to get back here. It's a craving. You get to this, like, I remember my days getting to the finals, major, junior and stuff. You kept losing. Next time I got to the finals, finally found a figure out how to win. And that's what this team's going to do, because it is changing. There's a lot of guys. You can't look in the past. The league is not like it was in the past. It's totally different. It's getting better. And we just got to, like I said, we made the improvements. We'll make more improvements. But I believe in the group that they have and what Steve's going to have next year. They're going to be good again. Now we just got to figure out what needs to change and what needs to be fixed and who's going to come back and who's not.
Statistically improved. Improved points, improved position, improved penalty kill, improved power play. What's for the future for Derek Welser, coach?
Well, I'd love to come back and coach full-time. You know, if they asked me to, they offer me that, I'd probably do it. If they offer me something to do a little bit both, you know, it'll take a couple weeks. It's hard. Like, this year I want to really come back and just lift the trophy, but that's emotion kicking in. I don't want to say anything that, you know, it's the wrong thing to say at the time, but right now I'm going to take 2 or 3 weeks with my wife and kids. Like, people realize there's a lot of hours I put in, a lot of hours. Kiefer, Vandermeer, Stewie, Mace, really, you get stressed out. I've had a long run here, and I really need a couple of weeks to shut my brain off, get back in the gym, just sort of get back into a routine, and I'll talk with Thor over the next couple of weeks and see where they are. But I'd love to come back. My family loves it here. Like, it's, we're treated great. My wife's enjoying her job, and my kids love their school, so there's a good chance I'll get sucked back into doing a little bit of both, but right now I don't want to make that answer right now.
Thanks for your time, Coach. Thanks for your efforts this weekend.
No problem. Thank you for coming, guys.
Thanks to those guys for the post-game interviews, obviously. A very happy Paul Thompson there. And Derek Welser with a few cryptic lines in there, which we'll talk about later in the show when we talk about where we go from here. What I will want to move on to now is the Sunday's big game against the Dundee Stars, the third, fourth place game. which ended 15-8. I'd love to tell you the scores. I was going to go through the scores. I went to the Elite League website to find that the game sheet has been stricken from the record and all statistics have been expunged, David.
Yes, they have, but I reckon between us we could probably have get the lion's share of them. I think Martinelli had a hat trick, says, yeah?
He did, yep. Rutherford had a hat trick.
Yep.
Right. Rudy had a hat trick. I'm pretty sure Shades had a hat trick. So there's 9, 10, 11. Yeah. Quinnell got one.
Kiefer got one.
Kiefer got one. There's 12, 13.
Higgy got one.
Oh, Higgy's, my goodness. Higgy's assist. I'm going to cut the game tape if they haven't removed it from Point Streak and put Higgy's assist. I think it's for the very first goal of the game.
O'Reilly.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. There was quite a bit of showboating going on.
Well, to be fair, there was also a lot of cheering going on for every single goal because I think everybody in the arena had maybe had a few quid on the overs. Like, we sat and watched a little bit of the first period in the Giants block, and I was certainly getting a few quizzical looks whenever I was punching the air when a few went behind Andrew Dixon, but it was all for a good cause.
Yeah, I found them. Good old flash scores, right? Scarsella opens the scoring. Riley equalises. Lidhammer, Rutherford, Craig Moore, Martinelli, Shields, Burston, White, Toe, Rutherford,
Didn't score that.
Toe didn't score that?
That was Martinelli's goal.
Oh, okay. Rutherford, Higgins, Joey Sides, Quinnell, Farina, and then Vandermeer, Forney, Martinelli, Shields.
I'm going to jump in as well. Vandermeer didn't score it. Shields scored it.
I'm just going off what it says on Flash Scores. Shields, Forney, Adam Keefe with the final goal for the Giants before Justin Farina made it give the 8th goal for the Dundee Stars. Why do you think this game's been stricken from the record? Anyone?
No idea. I mean, at the end of the day, if they're going to play the bloody thing, which, in all fairness, is a lot of but if they're going to play it, then they know, and they expect guys to go out there and, perform in a game, then they've got to basically keep them in. You can't just all of a sudden, strike it from the record. That's a lot of nonsense.
I agree. I think that if they're going to, they've put it out there, third, fourth place game, and as you say, they're making the players play. How many of those players wanted to be out there at that time to play that game? They're being
zero
forced to as part of the league structure and what they on, and therefore, and all of a sudden, when it becomes an absolute, a cricket score, people, I believe that Neil Black wasn't too happy with it and blah, 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 and they've asked for it all to be stricken from the record. I think that's wrong.
100% agree with you.
David, you're the stats man.
What do you want me to say?
Do you think they're putting stats on that? Obviously, it's the end of the season. Do you think they're afraid of, what are they afraid of?
Maybe making the product that they're making a mockery of themselves, making it look silly. It is a silly score. It's no secret. People will have seen a few of the players like letting their hair down after the exploits in the semi-finals. Both teams, Dundee and, and the Giants as well, and well deserved after a long season. Agreed. It is a nonsense of a game unless they do something. It's to justify the charge in the same amount for the ticket on the Sunday as it is for the Saturday. It's to have two games, and it's a pure nonsense. The only way, and how do you make the third, fourth place game competitive? There's the $1 million question. Stick a few quid up for the winning team. £2,500, £3,000 or something. Split it between the 20 players that go and win the game. Let them drink it in Hooters on the Sunday night instead of the Saturday night, But you can't, at the end of the day, it's always going to be a shinny game because the Belfast Giants season finished at whatever it was, 7 o'clock on Friday night. The Dundee Stars season finished. This is a nothing game. And it is played at that pace because nobody wants to take an injury, in a game that is absolutely meaningless for their career. There's nothing for third place. So why try and go and win it? Essentially, there's nothing for second place. You're there to win the playoffs, and if you don't win the playoffs, your weekend has been fruitless. So, brilliant, the Giants finished third, but now that record's been expunged. So did we really? It's just pointless. As Michael Dizzle Viper put it on Twitter best the other day, keep this game for as long as they can because there's so many Giants fans are in the clover.
And on that note, we shall move along. Let's quickly talk about what else took place on the Sunday. And the final, obviously the Sheffield Steelers, congratulations to them. They are the playoff champions. They defeated the Cardiff Devils and were able to stop the Devils from gaining that trophy for the Grand Slam. And what a game it was. 6-5 it ended after double overtime at the NIC, a 4-hour game, which finally ended with Levi Nelson scoring over Ben Bounds. But it opened within about the first 30 seconds, within the first, well, 36 seconds it was, John Armstrong skates in on Ben Bounds, says, and he hits him like a freight train.
He does, Paddy, and, you know, the Sheffield Steelers have got a bit of
reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, David.
No problem.
You know, it's happened before. It happened the week before against Veekman. You know, I've watched the replay of it. Paddy, you brought it up a couple of times on the laptop. And how, I mean, even at my age, I could still stop before I got to him after taking a shot from 20 feet and jumping over the top of an on-rushing player. It's the biggest load of balls that Armstrong absolutely meant to hit him. Absolutely did. He meant to, did he mean to hurt him? Debatable. But he meant to take him out of the game.
It set the tone for the whole game. It set the atmosphere. To be fair to it, you know, I don't like the action, but I love the drama of it. And it really set the tone for the entire game.
Yeah, it did. Paddy, and you've already touched on it. You and I sat in the Giants box and watched the match. It was absolutely brilliant. It was one of the best games. And being live on BBC, on radio, and on the webcast as well, it was fantastic. I know Davey's not got much time for anything outside the Belfast Giants, as do we as well. But I'll tell you what, I do appreciate a good game of hockey. You from start to finish, it was fantastic. You know, Ben Bounds had, I think he, did they go 3 or 4-1 up?
There were four.
Cardiff Devils.
There were three one up.
Yeah, 3-1 up, and then Sheffield's second and third goal, Ben Bounds will definitely want back. I think he's at fault for both of them. And then he starts pulling out saves that he's absolutely no right to make. Sure. I mean, that one where Colton Freder nutmegged the defenseman twice, going one way, coming back into the centre of the ice, trying to go round Ben Bounds, and Bounds just reaches a toe out from nowhere. Was one of the best saves of the season, if not the best save of the season. He was exceptional. And, you know, Mustakovs didn't, he made the saves when he had to. Ended up 5-5 after 42 or 43 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, for the next 40 minutes, there was nothing. There was no goals. It was a goaltender duel. Really, really entertaining game. Slowing down towards the end. You know, five periods of hockey. I'm not surprised. The guys are absolutely knackered. But I thought it was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. A brilliant advert for ice, for British ice hockey. Sort of glad the Giants weren't in it, because I'd have been ending up way ahead like you, Paddy. There'd be no hurry left. It was thoroughly entertaining, and the crowd obviously loved it as well. So a bit bittersweet. I think we were sort of hoping Cardiff were going to pick it up in the end and obviously try and get the win, but. And then would have put the Giants into the Europa League competition. But Sheffield managed to get that winning goal. And again, Ben Bounds, I think, might want that one back.
Absolutely. The goals through the game went well. For the Cardiff Devils, Doucette, Haddad, Martin, Lane Ulmer and Andrew Hotham scored. But for the Sheffield Steelers, John Armstrong, Walker, Freder, 2 for Nelson, including the winner. It was 2 for Walker and 2 for Nelson, including the winner, which was 14 minutes and 8 seconds into the second period overtime, the 5th period of the game. And I have to agree with you, Simon. I sat next to you up there, and I thought the game was absolutely outstanding. That save from Ben Bounds that you mentioned, I watched it again today. The game's still fully on iPlayer, and I went and found it and looked at it today. And Bounds has no right to make that save. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Freder does everything right. He comes flying down the left. He nutmegs a defenseman twice. Gives himself time, pulls it out wide, pauses, waits for Bounds to go down, and then shoots. And then Bounds just sees it, lifts his left foot, and toes it away. Unreal. And that was probably the best save of the game in a game that was littered with some fantastic play. Dave, have you seen the game? I know you didn't. I know you didn't stick around after the Giants game.
No, I haven't, Paddy. As you say, I left a little while after the third, fourth place game. We had a bit of stuff to do, and then I headed off, dropped a few guys off the airport, then went on down the road a bit further, stopped for a fish supper at services, had a cup of tea, and I have to be honest, I was feeling a bit tired from the night before, so I had a little bit of a nap at services as well.
Yeah.
Got in the car, drove on back down to Bristol, and unbelievably, on the WhatsApp group, the game was still going on.
Yep.
So,
it was, I only found out that the
game, 4 hour game, so it would have probably kept me in it, but I listened to an audiobook on the way down in the car, and a wee bit of the Stone Roses, so I was well chilled out. It was good to see the crowd when we got back to Bristol, but I found the score out on the Sunday or on the Monday morning, so yeah, well done, Steelers.
One of the other points I'll take from it, Simon, as you're the only one who's going to talk about this game, is the fact that after the second period, after Levi Nelson's tripping call on 1945 in the second period, I think both referees, who were Toby Craig and Dean Smith, threw their whistles out the window because there wasn't nothing called for the rest of the game.
There wasn't, and again, I know the officials were, told to try and let the game go, but for me, you know, a penalty is a penalty. It doesn't make a difference what game it's in. If it should be called, it should be called. And there was a hell of a lot let go, the whole weekend.
Wait, hold on, and sorry. Again, about 10 minutes ago, you said that you don't call that, too many men.
No, again, you don't, because that was, if you watch that back, it wasn't a call. That wasn't a call. That was the only thing the referees got wrong all weekend. If you look
fair
at
enough.
It,
and the calls are made. Fair enough.
But, you know, it's, for me, again, I appreciate the referees letting it go. And again, 4 hours of hockey for one game. I mean, even you'd basically just mentioned about probably about a minute or 2 minutes beforehand, right? I'm giving it the end of this period, and then I'm going home, and then all of a sudden it's bored.
Yeah.
So, pity didn't do it about half an hour earlier.
I don't know. The guys on the ice, I'm sure, you know, they were, you could see how tired they were. The fans, I'm sure the Sheffield fans and the Cardiff fans were knackered. They came out. I was knackered watching it because it was just one of those games you couldn't take your eyes off.
But here, as someone that didn't watch it, you know, We talked about the overtime system last week on A View from the Bridge, and said, you know, for the quarterfinals, they changed it to 10 minutes 4-on-4, 5 minutes 3-on-3, and then penalty shots. But then they changed it for the final. That was going to be the setup for the semi-finals, but for the final was continuous overtime. And that's the drama you get, and that's what you get when, you know, you go to these games in the NHL. That's what you want. You want this continuous overtime because it brings drama. Like, who would have said the game that had went 5-5 through 60 minutes would, you know, go another 20 minutes with nothing and then into another period with nothing? And, you know, the drama of 10 goals in an hour and then you're having that whole period and they're cutting the ice again and you're getting an intermission and, you know, that just built and built and built, I assume, until, you know, I'm sure when the Steelers scored, I have yet to see it, but I'm sure when the Steelers, it was like a cork coming out of a ball. I'm sure that just the raw emotion, I'm sure Cardiff were flat in the ice and I'm sure Sheffield had the usual gloves in the air and pile on. I'm sure it was probably quite something, a spectacle to see, but, you know.
Yeah, Ben Bounds did hit the ice and he
didn't move
to get up.
Yeah, it didn't move.
But again, I do think it was his fault for their sixth goal. But on a plus side, David, you just mentioned about the third and fourth place game, a few people being happy. I was extremely happy that Bette McLean agreed with me for a draw after 60 minutes for the final as well. So everybody, as you say, everybody's happy.
Gamble responsibly, folks. Gamble responsibly. So yes, congratulations to the Sheffield Steelers. They did stop the Cardiff Grand Slam and they will take their place in the Continental Cup next season. Okay, a bit of an announcement to make, and we're delighted for that announcement to be joined by Colin Shields. How are you, buddy?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Not too bad. We're delighted to announce that on the 21st of November, it's your well-deserved testimonial taking place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something we've been working on. You know, obviously looking forward to this, sort of got it sorted out somewhat recently, but something we've been looking forward to and obviously honoured and proud to have been given the opportunity to play in Belfast as long as I have. And, you know, thankful to the Odyssey Trust and Robert and Steve and everyone else involved to give me the opportunity to host the game, and hopefully we can make it something special that people can come and enjoy, and all the other events around there, and sort of enjoy the, you know, bringing back some of their favorite players and have some fun, and hopefully have a good couple of nights.
You've been part of a few testimonials through the years yourself. What does it mean to a player when you've put that much service into a club that you have this sort of a night?
No, I mean, I think it's obviously a great honor to be privileged enough to play for as long as I have with the Giants, and, you know, hopefully a lot longer to go. So, you know, I think I've still got some miles left in me, and we'll hopefully continue to, you know, improve on what we had this year as far as the team, but that's probably another conversation for another day. But as far as the game goes, definitely an honor, and, you know, I'm really fortunate enough with the ownership group we have, and they were, you know, granted me with this, and we're just trying, you know, make everyone proud and do something that makes it a special night.
Yeah, it's catchy. You know, it's been a long season, and, you know, we just managed to come up short on the league and the Challenge Cup, and obviously the playoffs at the weekend. But, you know, heading into this week for yourself and your teammates at Team GB, you must be all pumped up and ready to go for the World Championships.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we came so close this year, and I thought we made a lot of improvements since the season before, and to come up short, it's obviously very disappointing. And, you know, when you play for an organization that's judged on winning and silverware, and the expectations to win and deliver is there, anything, you know, short or second place isn't quite good enough. So, but as I said, I think things are moving in the right direction, and, you know, there's a lot of changes from last year, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, some changes again next year. And but as a group, I thought, you know, we had a lot of good strides, and you can sort of see that belief is coming back a bit, and there's some exciting hockey this year, and you know, something that players and fans should be proud of. I mean, a couple of the teams had some great seasons. Sheffield obviously at the end, and Cardiff had a great year all season as well. Maybe any other year, if we had a season like we did, we might end up on top. But you know, credit to those teams for the job they did. Now it was with the World Championships. Yeah, it's kind of, we've had a group that's been together for quite a few years, and some good younger players coming through soon as well. So hopefully, you know, with the home ice advantage this year, it'll be one of the, you know, a little bit of an extra push we need to get ourselves over the finish line, and kind of moving forward and to kind of get back up into that next pool.
Sheds, we could go back towards the PR for that's going to be released around your testimonial. And as you know, I'm fond of a stat or two. And here's some that are going to go out tomorrow. That you've played 517 games for the club. That's second overall ever. 208 goals, 351 assists. Impressive 559 overall. Lead in both those categories. What have we here? 40 power play goals, second overall. 10 shorthanded, first overall. You know, I know you'll say, you know, stats aren't all that important on a personal level. It's all about the team. But probably when your career's finished and you look back at the numbers that you've put up over, you know, over 10 years with the Belfast Giants now, there's something that you've got to be very proud of.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a lot before in person and on the show as well, that I think when you're younger, you sort of focus on points. And I guess growing up as well, junior in college and early on in pro, it's kind of what you're judged on is strictly on points, and that's how you're getting contracts, that's how you're getting scholarships, or, you know, moving on to the next level. But as you get older, I think, you know, you focus on, you know, things like being a good teammate, and focus on more on winning as opposed to, you know, when you're younger too. I think, you know, you always think, oh, we'll get back to the finals, or, you know, we'll win the league again. It seems like it sort of comes easy, or, you know, you've got lots more years ahead of you. But I think the older you get, you sort of value each game, every season a little bit more. And, you know, you definitely focus on winning and sort of enjoying every game and making sure you're not sort of worried just about points or anything like that. But as you said, maybe looking back when I'm old and gray, or there's no hair anyway, but when I'm older, that you'll sort of, you know, be proud of those things. But definitely an honor to play with the players I play with. And I've been put in a lot of great offensive situations my whole career. And, you know, obviously thankful to all those, you know, people that have set me up, and wouldn't be here without them.
Well, some of the statistics that's thrown out there, Sheds, is three fighting majors. Can you shed any light on those? What do you remember of those?
I had two in 1 year. The one was against the guy from Dundee, McAway, Steve McAway, something like that. McAway, he had quite a few pounds on me. Felt like I hung in there okay. And then I had another one in Nottingham, and then I had this one this year. don't get angry out there too often. But yeah, I think we're losing the losing the game. I think, and I wasn't happy with the hit, and you know, had a little tussle there. But it happens from time to time. And but I think there is. I mean, I'm obviously not a guy that's getting lots of fights, but there's a little bit less fighting now in the game. And but sometimes, you know, it gets heated out there, and you sort of have to stand up for yourself. And we've had a lot of good tough guys on our teams in the past, and luckily I haven't had to, you know, stand up for myself too often. But you know, I guess it happens from time to time, and you know, that's what goes.
Of course, with the we're going to be announced. You're going to be announced a few signings as the time goes on, and I'm sure a lot of names that the Giants fans will know very well.
Yeah, we're going to hopefully have a couple of events this summer, kind of get the fans involved, and sort of some things for people of all different ages, and you know, some couple different events, kind of get people together, and you know, we can talk hockey, and you know, hopefully we're trying to announce some players throughout the summer of who's coming back, and then, as I said, you know, trickle them, you know, throughout the season next year. And you know, as I said, just want to try and, you know, have a game that everyone will remember, not so much the game, but just having a couple of events that people can look back on and get a chance to share memories from, not just, you know, things to do with me, but, you know, of some of their favorite players, and get, you know, everyone sort of involved a little bit, not just have it so much about the game, because obviously the fans don't get to interact with the players too much at testimonials, because obviously that's just the game. But, you know, we want to make sure it's something for everyone, and sort of like a little celebration where we kind of look back on the last, you know, 10 or 11 years.
Well, go on, sis.
So I'm just going to say there, is there any chance you can give us a wee insight in the name of who's coming back? Just a wee teaser?
Well, no, I don't know. I can't give any teasers. I haven't asked you yet to play. I was going to say, really, you're not playing, are you?
Who?
Exclusive Simon Kitchen being invited on.
You've heard it here first. No, I mean, we'll hopefully try and... obviously, there'll be some. We'll have a Facebook page set up and Twitter and all that stuff. So we'll have some links and, you know, competitions and raffles and all that stuff, and leading up to the events in the summer, where people can sort of get involved and hopefully, you know, get a little more insight to what's going on. As I said, we'll try and, you know, announce some players, you know, as we go. And you know, we've got some pretty good, exciting fan favorites coming back, and hopefully we'll try and add to that list sort of as we get closer to the time.
Well, like I said, the game is on the 21st of November later this year. Tickets are going on sale later in the month, tenner for adults, fiver for concessions and child. And we've had a few testimonials through the years, Todd Kellman, Shane Johnson's, some really great occasions, and no doubt this'll be another one. But until that, we'll wish you well with GB in the coming weeks, Colin, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks. Hopefully we get to see all the Giants fans out supporting the team down at the arena. It's going to be some exciting hockey, something a little bit different from maybe what they're used to with the Elite League, but it's fast-paced hockey and a lot of skill out there, and hopefully we can all come together and get behind us and can take down that gold medal.
Fantastic, mate. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Right, now Colin's gone, we can talk a little bit about him behind his back. Davey, this is a very well-deserved testimonial, and we're quite proud of using the bridge to also be involved with it.
Well, as the title sponsors of the, it's going to be the A View from the Bridge, Colin Shields' testimonial. And, you know, the guy's been at the club since, what, 2005? He came in sort of a couple of months into Theo's season and got on that line and started scoring goals for fun. And was it Theo's season he came in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm right there, yeah. Towards, I think it was the end of November, start maybe December time even when he came in. And he had a great season that year as well. And, you know, over the course of time, I think we rattled out some of his stats during the interview there, and even this season, you know, has been an incredible season for him, and 37 years old, you know, and you know, he'd be happy himself to say that he hopes that he's got still, you know, several more years to give the club. But it's testament to his work ethic and off the ice, his professionalism. Like, you look back this season, what did we say, he had 29 and 27 in 67 games, and he was scratching around at the start of the season on the fourth line, getting very, very little ice time. Stayed professional, kept cool, earned his ice time, and, you know, come the end of the season, he's probably playing on your top line, he's penalty killing, he's on the point on the power play, and he's going in there, and he scored, you know, I'm sure, four or five power play goals since the turn of the year. He went into that slot and turned himself into the focal point of that Derek Walser power play line. And, you know, it's great that he's been recognised by the club along, I think it's, who else has had testimonials now? Killer,
Graham Walden,
and Wally. You know, so he's in good company there. There's a bit of giggling going on. I don't know what that's about, but you know, it's something that we're going to look forward to. Obviously, the Giants are going to be on the road a bit at that time of year, and you've got the NCAA coming in that week. So it's going to be hockey that there hasn't been for a few weeks, and that whole week is going to be a fantastic, from the dinner to the game itself, to seeing some guys who haven't been here for a number of years that, you know, have left us on good terms, and we miss them, and they're going to come back, and you're going to get the chance to mix with them again and get the odd autograph from some guys who are no longer with us. But congratulations, I suppose, and we look forward to being a bit involved in it as players get announced. We'll get interviews and stuff up, but as I say, the view from the bridge, Colin Shields testimonial, who would have thought it?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. Simon, you know, as I say, you know, he came in, that, as Davey said, came in that season with Theo, and you know, we'll overlook his time at the Newcastle Vipers and the Sheffield Steelers, but he wears the A now. He's worn the C, and he's lifted a championship.
He has. He's just a class act. You know, there's no, Davey's already said all the positive things about him, and you can't speak highly enough about him. You know, again, getting the age he's got to, I would say 37 years young, Davey, not 37 years old. You know, he's looking fitter than he's ever looked. Obviously with the TPF and the time he spends in there and off the ice as well. You know, I sent photographs and videos to you guys when I'm lucky enough to get down to training. He's the last guy off. You know, he still works on his game. You're sitting thinking, you know, there's an empty net, there's nobody else on the ice, and he stands there with 30 or 40 pucks and, you know, just basically tries to drop a shoulder one way, backhand, tries to drop a shoulder the other way, going top shelf, and he continually works on his game. And that's the thing that he hasn't taken liberties on, because, you know, he's still playing for GB at 37 years of age. He's still going to be a massive part of the GB setup in the World Championship starting here in 2 weeks' time. And, you know, it's a testament to what he's put into the hockey. I remember playing against him when he was 14. We were playing in the Scottish leagues. Actually, we were playing the British League for Castlereagh, and he's playing for the Paisley Parish at 14. Established coaching, and it's just unbelievable. You know, you're sitting thinking, this kid is going away to North America, he's going to learn the game, study at college, put all the hours and the workload into it, and ultimately, it's paid off for him.
Of course, me and university, you know, being involved with the Friendship 4 is a big one for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. Isn't it this year as well, Maynard coming?
Yep. So. Yeah. Same week as his testimonial, his old university is going to be over, so... that'll be nice for him as well, you know. And one thing, Paddy, that we haven't really mentioned is the work that he's done for different charities and stuff around Belfast. You know, we probably, absolutely, when we were just starting to get involved a little more with the club and the podcast, was around the time Sheds was doing the work for the homeless, and he's continued to do that quietly off his own back. You know, that year he really raised a lot of awareness and the clothing drive, and the amount of people that he helped just through his name, he was able to, you know, set that up. But he was doing that long before, and Sizz will be testament to that, because Sizz would have been involved as well in doing stuff for the homeless. You know, he was involved in that long before, you know, the news broke with the Belfast Giants, and he used his, you know, called celebrity status or whatever, you know, his name to help. And obviously off the back of that, then, you know, he has thousands of people that he can tap into as supporters, and Belfast fans will always get behind a good cause. So that's, you know, these guys come in, we call it the Jim Gillespie clause, don't we now, the likes of Kiefer and all. You look at Elfie, what he did for all the different charities when he was here as well. They're all at it. Every guy that's in that locker room is happy to put their shoulder to the wheel in something. But, you know, very proud that Sheds was able to do something for a Belfast charity. And homelessness is something that hasn't gone away. And I know that in the season, his testimonial season, he'll make sure that he does something along the lines as part of the view. Should have really said that as part of the view from the bridge sponsorship of the testimonial, there'd be a sizable donation going to, from us to a charity of Shed's choosing. So we'll find out whenever he decides which charity that's going to, and we'll let you know a bit more about that down the line.
As we said, when we're chatting to him there, and you're going to hear a lot more from us as the year goes on. The 21st of November, Tuesday the 21st of November, is the date of the testimonial. There's going to be loads of events around that, and tickets are going to be available from the 22nd of April. £10 for an adult, £5 for a child. Listen, this is a club legend. This is a guy who has lifted championships. This is a guy who is our leading point scorer, and this is a guy who's give great service to our club. So this is a time when we turn out en masse for him, and we're really looking forward to that weekend or that game and everything around it. Right, other news. One thing that was announced earlier today, or yesterday, I suppose you'll be hearing this, is that Mike Forney has departed the Belfast Giants and has moved back to North America. Davey, as good as he was, he never really caught light in the same way he had done with the Sheffield Steelers.
He caught light in fits and starts, Paddy, I think it would be fair to say. You know, there was times that he would have been a little bit unplayable, and there was times that, you know, maybe guilty of coasting a bit through games, and times where his form wasn't as good as it had been in previous times through his tenure in the Elite League. And, you know, I think back to last season when he went through some personal troubles prior to Christmas, and he had a bit of a break and came back, and certainly around that Olympic break and afterwards, I thought that he played really well, and at times this season he showed glimpses of perhaps what he had shown the club in his Sheffield days. He perhaps, for me, I think one of the things that I would be most critical of was the sort of edginess went out of his game when he played that season in Sheffield. He was really hard on the face-off, and I mean hard from a point of view. We maybe had Mike Compound centering against him, and I know Compound lost a lot of sticks that season in face-offs against Mike Forney. You know, he smashed him. He was smashing people on the hands, and to that extent, he kind of lost a wee bit of the edginess of his game, and he's a bit soft's not the right word, if you know what I mean there, but wouldn't have been going into those hard areas like he would have, wouldn't have been quite as strong on the puck as he would have. But, you know, he's been a good servant of the club. He's put up decent numbers, but I think, I don't know what Forns is going to go on and do, whether he will appear in American League or whether that's going to be, you know, good night nurse from him. But, you know, I think he had more to give.
Simon?
Yeah, I don't think he was good enough this year. You know, last season he was, you know, second in points. This year you would have thought with the relationship he'd already built up with Higgins and then Blair Riley coming in, and those two guys leading the team and scoring, you thought that Forns was going to be there or thereabouts. Real, real top lad. You know, couldn't meet a nicer fella. But for me, you know, again, if we'd have got the player that Sheffield were lucky enough to get 3 years ago, we would have been absolutely over the moon. But I think he'll be disappointed in himself for this past season. I think he, you know, there was, as Davey said, there was, you know, when he turned up, he was excellent. But I think he went missing a wee bit too much this year.
In other departures that were announced in the last couple of days, after three seasons as captain of the Brayhead clan, Matt Keith, the former Chicago Blackhawk, is departing. I think it might be ending his career. Simon, Matt Keith was a good player for the Brayhead clan, and he can look forward to probably an entry on the Wall of Fame.
No, I mean, absolutely. I've played, what, two seasons with him and captain him to the Gardner Conference twice, and overall quality player, real workhorse. You know, I really actually enjoyed watching him play, and thought he was really good for Brayhead. But you don't have to do much to get on the Wall of Brayhead, in fairness.
And also, looks like Brian McGrattan might be out. He put a cryptic tweet out, but it looks like he's leaving the Nottingham Panthers, Davey. Now, do you get your money? Are you going to get your money off Paul Wheeler?
I can't imagine he's probably spending it all on something in South Korea. But I don't think Bordalo and McGrattan got the 80 points between them. So I'll just be happy that once again, Paul Wheeler v. Davey McGimsey came out in a 0-1 win to East Belfast, man.
Careful what you say, Davey.
I know he'll have his people watching and tweeting for him, but whatever.
There was the Q&A that took place on Sunday. We got into the last question. But one of the things that came out of it is the fact that there will be a maximum playing roster for next season, set at 19 plus three British trained players born in 1994 or later. 14 imports is going to remain, as we spoke about, but it no longer required the 11 plus 3 split where the 3 were exempt from requiring work permits. Trying to bring it, looks, it's an interesting move, the 19 plus 3. Does it put a premium on British players, Sis, and are they there?
Well, again, I mean, if you look at the British players that the Giants have this year, you know, they're a big important part of our setup, which they've always been, you know, since the Elite League started. I think is there enough British players to go around with the addition of, enough British players at this level, to go around with the additions of Milton Keynes and Guildford coming in next year? That's waiting to be seen. And, you know, I think that the likes of Peter Russell at Milton Keynes and Paul Dixon at Guildford will probably give youth a chance. You know, they've got young guys coming through their setups at the minute, and making a step up the next year is going to be massive for them. So, you know, if you're playing at that level and you're practicing with guys at that level, you get better. And obviously, you know, it's not ideal sitting on the bench for 58 and 59 minutes, being 3 or 4 goals up and getting 30 seconds. It's not ideal. I think you should be playing at a level where you're getting ice time on a regular basis, but you're still training with a senior team, i.e. like Sheffield Steelers and Cole Shudra, and playing for the, I can't remember, the Steel Dogs, is it?
Yeah,
Steel Dogs. So I think that with the number 19, is, you know, it doesn't make a difference for me if you're sitting 3 or 4 kids on the bench if they're getting ice time. But I don't like the idea of young lads sitting watching 99% of a game from the bench and not getting on. I just don't like that. But you know, it's good from my point of view. Well, not my point of view, but from and off my point of view, 14 imports. And it doesn't matter if they're from North America or Russia or wherever, you know, they're allowed to bring their own 14 imports in without the 3 without needing work permits. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm sure there'll be news coming out from all the teams around the league in the next couple of weeks of early signings leading into the rest break over the summer.
Sounds in the background like my young daughter doesn't agree with it either. Divi, it is an interesting procedure, but it's sometimes when the Elite League make these decisions, they seem to be on the surface. If these kids are there, the likes of Liam Kirk, Cole Shudra, we've seen as I said, you know, Jordan Boyce up in Brian Clan, it's all well and good them being on the bench and them training with the Steelers or the Clan or the Giants or whoever. If they're not getting regular ice time in competitive situations, it's not really going to work that well for them, is it?
Well, it's not really development in the best sense of it, because I had this with Jacko and Bill today, you know, saying that they're, you know, not all development's done on a game night. There's, as Simon has said there as well, you know, they're training every day of the week with better players and good facilities, but that isn't really enough. I take their point on board that, you know, there is no better preparation for future than actually playing games, and that's in any sport. You know, you can only practice so much. You have to get your, you know, have to get your face dirty sometimes. And the bigger question there, Paddy, is, you know, is it a requirement that you have 3 under 23s in your roster, or just that you can have them? You know, you can just have 19 players if you want, but, you know, if you want to make it up to 22, those last 3 players have to be under 23. So, you know, I'm not necessarily sure you have to have 3 under 23s. Is there 36 under 23 British players that are capable of stepping into the top league in the country? That's, you know, 12 teams all needing 3 players each. Obviously, we would have the likes of Jackson Whistle here. They're at under 21, or he's around 21. So there's one, but, you know, I'm not sure where our other 2 are going to come. You know, people were talking on Twitter today about the likes of Stevie Eccles coming back. And, you know, Stevie Eccles want to come back from North America to warm a bench and do a bit of practice. You know, he's going to potentially want to go to a Gardner Conference team that's going to give him a bit of third or fourth line ice time, you know, and build his career up that way rather than come and, you know, sit for his hometown team. Pretty much what Simon's saying, you know, I'm kind of repeating what he's saying. It's just, is the talent there? Is there 36 players? And you're going to need then, what were you saying, 5 as well? So another further 60 British players to go around the teams, you know, so you're looking at the guts of 100 British players in the league next season to try and develop the national team to the next step, because as these guys like Sheds and, you know, come out of the top end of the team, you could even say the Peacocks and the Dowds, you know, aren't going to be around forever. You know, that where is the next step for the national team? It's been like a bit of a golden generation, obviously, that hasn't quite got the gold. Hopefully they go and do that in Belfast this year. But, you know, this golden generation of real top talent that, you know, before too much longer, they're going to have had their day, and the new guys, is that level of talent coming and pushing them along? And is it up to the top league to try and develop that? You know, we'll go back to the raison d'etre of the elite league being started. It was to develop British talent. And I suppose you can't really say that it hasn't been a success, because the British hockey team has been a lot better over the last 10 years than it had in perhaps the previous 10, where we had the dual nationals and stuff. So it's a very fine balancing act. And do we have these 36 young kids that want to come along and just be, you know, paperweights or makeweights, sir?
The other thing, sorry, Paddy, just to jump in there. I mean, Davey, it's not just about having the kids available to do it. You know, if you take the Belfast Giants for an example, the Giants' travelling expenses are more than any other team in the league.
Yep.
So if you've got three other 23-year-olds who aren't going to get any ice time, have got to travel with the team every weekend, that's 20 approximately return flights every season. For argument's sake, say $2,000 per person. That's £6,000 plus an extra hotel room every season as well, every night as well. So the Giants travel on a Sunday morning. So they usually stay over on a Sunday night. Say an extra £70 a room as well. 20, 1400. You're talking £7,500 to £8,000 minimum on traveling expenses alone. So, you know, it's certainly not ideal. If you're not going to play them, in my opinion, they shouldn't be traveling. I just don't, and again, as it's been proven this year, there is no easy games in this league. Nope. So you're going to get the, you know, long gone the days when you're going into, for argument's sake, Fife, or I'm paying the greatest respect here, but Fife and Dundee, long gone the days you're thinking, you know what, we just have to turn up there. We're going to put guys on with 3 or 4 minutes to go, give a couple of shifts to the younger lads, and let's just, you know, make sure we get the rest of the game over with without any injuries.
There it is. That's for me. Says that. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's it for me. That's the elephant in the room. I had this chat with you earlier this week. The fact is that a move like this from the Elite League to say, you know, the 19+3, it's nice on the surface of things, but it pays lip service to the actual development that could take place and the competitive games that these guys could actually play. It's not going to happen. We watched a fantastic playoff final on Sunday, but it was practically two-line hockey. Haddad was going, the Hothams were going off for 15, 20-second breaks before coming on and doing another shift. So when the chips are down, you're not going to take a chance on these. Unfortunately, you're not going to take a chance on these young lads unless you know they're up to scratch. You're going to play 2-3 line hockey, because sometimes you don't even see our fourth line come out. So why are you going to take a chance on these young lads? You're not. When points in October are as valuable as points in March, because we run on a league structure, because the league is the biggest prize, then it means that from September the 1st till March, the middle of March when the season ends, that every single game is worth big, there's massive jeopardy in everything. So it's a coach's decision to pick his best players to go out that think they're going to win the game. There's no reason for you to take a chance on a young, unfortunately, there's no reason for you to go and take a chance on a young lad unless you know that he's going to be able to perform at a high level. Be that in goal or be that in him.
No, you're right. The other side of that is, see, like, remember it's probably back 5, 6, maybe even 7 years ago, the crossover cup.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing, and I know, I don't think that's going to happen now because of two of the teams from that league have stepped up. But the crossover cup could have been a development league / competition. So, you know, if you were bringing those three under 23 players in, and Davey's already mentioned that Jackson Whistle will be one of our 23 if we bring those in, which I don't think we will. And I just don't think we, at the minute, apart from maybe Stevie Eccles, but again, I think Stevie will go back to North America again. And he's been MVP in that league that he played in this year, top point scorer. And why wouldn't he go back to North America? The kid's been doing really, really well. So unless, if it was me, if he was my son, and I wouldn't be saying to him, look, come on back home, play here, train every day with the boys, and then hope you get a shift at the weekend. I couldn't say that to him.
No, but I think my ultimate problem here is the fact that it's the league structure that hampers the development of British talent. It's the actual fact that we focus on a league. When the Elite League was founded, it was founded, as you say, Davey, on the right principles, but it was founded with a league structure. So I think it failed initially there. It did develop initially, but we sort of hit a glass ceiling on that. The league had a chance in 2012 to change that. They didn't really. They brought in the conferences, they fudged it a little bit, but we ultimately still have everybody chasing for a league. We now have the ability in this offseason to restructure again, get rid of the league structure, run off the conferences, and then basically say the top whatever it is of each, say three conferences, and the top whatever it is of every conference goes through the playoffs. Focus on the playoffs being the ultimate trophy. Make the Monteith Bowl a President's Trophy if you want to, but focus on the playoffs being the ultimate trophy. And that means taking a little bit of pressure off those games in October, maybe into February, into June, when you're just basically jostling for a position. That's when you can take chances on your youth. That's when you can take chances on your different lines. And that's when you start to develop players. And here ends my sermon.
Here says, just incidentally, 6 or 7 years ago for the crossover cup that you're talking about.
I know it was 10.
2000 and... Yeah. Four. Unbelievable, mate. 13 years ago.
I'm sick. Really? Older than what I am.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Anyway, one last thing to cover before we go on. Any favourite playoff rumours? Anybody get some good ones from the weekend? Before we go to Twitter?
Oh, no one's coming to Belfast.
The standard, Davey.
Nah, I haven't heard anything about it at all.
Some of them have been looking at Twitter. Thomas Brownie, Keith to the Brayhead clan as coach. Rod
Brad
Stewart.
Stewart's going to everybody apart from... Cardiff.
Brian Stewart. Did you see the state of him at the weekend?
The bingo bus.
Tell you what. See, I don't think he left Bunkers. Rod Stewart's band, The Clan. It's another one. I heard one of, cause Rob Wilson was obviously a friend of Gareth Chalmers and he was in the box of The Clan. And I heard quite a few Clan fans talking about how they saw DEL coach of the year, Rob Wilson talking to Gareth Chalmers, and he's now going to be the Brayhead Clan coach. Aye. Mark Lefebvre to the Blaze and Dundee the Fool. I heard that one. That one, I think something like that. Something appeared on, was that Photoshop or something appeared on Elite Prospects?
No, it was legit, but it's not happening.
And, yeah. So yeah, some brilliant ones, but let's move on, gents. We're going to finish with the last section of this final podcast of the season. That's going to be the Fan Agenda in association with the friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we'll start off, as I flick through Twitter, with Keelan Deeney, who's fired up some brilliant questions through the season. Who's your signing of the season for the Giants and the signing of the season league-wide, David?
I'll go for the Giants first. I think that the signing of the past season was Blair Riley. Mm-hmm. I think he brought a bit of everything. He didn't have to fight. He came maybe expecting a bit more... of a leadership role that he's came up with, playing up the lines rather than maybe playing. I think it was Stockton was said, wasn't it? He was playing in before, and he was expected to be there as the sort of veteran leader. He was living with a young lad. He was teaching him the ropes, showing him what it was like to be a professional, and played a very defined role. He was only expected to come up with a very odd goal. I think he scored over 30 for us, and he had some amazing match winning goals, and, yeah, I think he had one game over in Coventry where he maybe got a hat trick early in the season. He bamboozled Brian Stewart over the course of the season. We've seen to play them a lot at the start of the season. So yeah, for me, I think the Giants signing of last summer was Blair Riley.
Simon?
Yeah, I'd agree. Estabiano pushing him for a close second, but Blair Riley came to play every single night. Even in the third fourth place playoff game at the weekend, mm-hmm. got the first goal, celebrated like it was his first goal for the Giants, and he's been an absolute quality addition to the Giants lineup this year.
I'll take the second part of Keane Deeney's question. I'm running into Stephen McBlain's. Three players from other teams in the league this season you'd love to see until next season, Sam. Joey Sides.
Joey Sides, top lad, met on Saturday night, real, real top lad. I'd love to see Andrew Hoffman. I, you know, mm. I, He's been brilliant again this year. Joey Martin, we talked about him on Sunday.
Yeah.
Paddy, in my opinion, he's the best player in the league. And another I'd like to see would be Becca from the our Brayhead clan.
See, he got an award from the Elite League for top point scorer, top goal scorer, which, and they misspelled Brayhead clan. Well done to them. David, three players from other teams in the league that you'd love to see in Teal next season.
I'll try and disagree, not disagree, but choose maybe slightly differently from Sis, because I don't believe that. You have to try and be realistic about it. I don't think any player is going to come out of Cardiff to anywhere else. Much as I would like, I think Hotham or Andrew Lord even, you know, would be fantastic additions. I like Vinny Scarsella. I think the speed he brings, he scored a lot of, you know, 50 odd assists and 20 odd goals. So I think he brings a lot of intangibles. Matthew Waugh, obviously from Sheffield, I think he's locked down there in a contract anyway. And Ryan Dingle from Fife scores a lot of goals. There's goaltenders out there. I love our goaltenders, so I wouldn't touch them. But there's I think Fallon had a decent season. Shane Owens from Fife, but for me, Dingle, Scarsella, and who was the other one to say it there? Waugh.
Waugh.
What about you, Paddy?
See, you've more or less threw up all the ones. I'm going through that Cardiff team. Joey Haddad. I would have. I think Haddad's been absolutely stunning. Like, I thought he was brilliant on Sunday. I thought he was brilliant all week. I think brilliant all season. He never stops. He's one of the key parts of that title winning side for the Cardiff Devils. I actually quite like Levi Nelson at Sheffield. I've always quite liked him as a player. And I like our goalies, but like Shane Owen has been. I'm quite surprised. As much as Ben Bounds was stunning on Sunday, right? Absolutely stunning, but I actually would have thought for the league's best goalie, I would have actually chosen Shane Owen. And I think he's brilliant. Anyway, Keith Conway, speaking of goalies, with the successful tandem of Whistle Murphy, has the Elite League gotten to a standard where teams need to run two quality netminders, David?
Yes.
Is that realistic?
Why not? You look at the Nottingham Panthers pattern of, you know, having Wiegmann, Pagel and Dan Green, where on any given night they can perhaps pick their starting goaltender, play the British backup, and maybe the next night give the other import the start. But I think that the games come so thick and fast and are all so important and are all played at such a pace at the minute that it's very, very difficult for a goaltender to play the guts of 70 games in the space of time that they're expected to play them, and recovery and practice and, you know, all those things that need to be taken into consideration to be still performing at your peak come the stretch. You know, I think although Murph had to go and play maybe the last 20 games or so, I think that early season where we had Whistle and Murphy alternating games was a real benefit to both of them. And I think that once the guys got bedded in, you know, once Whistle got himself fit and we got that sticky start over and we got into that long run that we were in, I think you saw the benefits of being able to have fresh goaltending on every night.
Simon?
Yeah, I mean, is there enough quality goaltending for an import? And I mean, not every team's going to be able to have two British netminders throughout the league. There's just not that quality available, but you know, bringing in the likes of Cardiff brought in Murdy as well as Bounds, and Murdy played well when he had to and when he got the opportunity to as well. And he's been called up to the GB squad as well with Jackson pulling out. So, you know, it's an interesting topic where, you know, the goalies like the likes of Nottingham have Passel, Wiegmann and Dan Green this year. And, you know, in a semi final that Nottingham beat Sheffield in the first leg, and then wasn't it three goals up or four goals up?
Four goals up
going into the
there were two goals up going into it, or three goals up going into it.
Three goals up going into the second leg of semi final, and Sheffield having form for doing things to goaltenders. I don't understand why Corey Neilson didn't put Passel in the back and back up and just set it forward. The extra import. Don't get it at all. But again, I'm quite happy with R2.
I'm going to give the final question to Stevie Thompson, but before I do that, just one more. Maureen Moore, what do you think are the chances of getting seatbelts fitted for Daryl Moore next season?
Brilliant.
I think he needs a personal airbag, doesn't he, that balloon?
Did you see his rib cage?
I saw his rib cage, his head. Yeah. He took a bit of a tumble. Let's say he took a bit of a tumble.
What happens on tour stays on tour, Paddy? Come on.
Oh, okay. That's
no, you've got to tell this one, Paddy.
No, that's fair enough. It's not, Davey's absolutely right. It's not my place to say. All I can say is that I hope he recovers.
Brooks is going to try and get the CCTV.
Let's see if we can get that video. We'll only say what happened if we get the video.
And Davey, you can cut a video together and we can put it on Twitter.
put the Benny Hill music on it.
So yeah, let's go to the final question. It goes to Stevie Thompson, a fellow who's always been great this season and throughout regards to the podcast and asking questions on TFA. And it's quite a good one. How would you rate this season compared to others in our recent history? Will you look back with pride, frustration, optimism or sorrow, David?
A little bit of all of what he described there. I think that we have made progression from last season under Derek Walser's first season. I think we made progression under Walser's first season from Thorpe's last season. I think we met perhaps underestimate what the disruption of Eddie and Killer leaving at the same time and a whole new setup trying to get it all up and running. And, you know, we maybe stood a wee bit still and we brought back a vast majority of that previous team while other teams move forward. And if you stand still when things are moving fast around about you, you actually end up going backwards. So I think we've been playing catch up for a number of seasons. And, you know, I think that we're on a good path. And I think that this team had the potential to win things despite probably, I know you don't like talking about budgets, Paddy. You say you put a team out there and you compete, and that's what we did. And I think that for the most part of the season, we can be pretty proud. Look at that run we went on. You know, we proved through that run that this team was competitive and this team could beat anybody. And we beat everyone in the league at the end of the day. You know, there's no team that came away from us unscathed this season. And it's just, there's frustration and there's disappointment, but there's optimism for the season. You know, you can only be optimistic going forward that you turn the page and you hope that we start recruiting now. We've obviously two recruited already. There's a few guys back on 2-year contracts, obviously, we know about, but, you know, we've announced Blake and we've announced Sheds. And I think the put on there as well about, wasn't it Vandermeer's on it too? Blair Riley, was that the only one, says that the club put that up there?
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
I'll put out the press release the other day.
You've got Ram Martinelli, Steve Saviano as well. So,
yeah, I can't remember.
Jackson Whistle.
And Jackson. So there's obviously cause for optimism as well. So just watch the space. It's the off-season. And, you know, it's a funny time of year where coaches are scrambling for the best of the available talent from around the league and trying to sign up their British core as well. So I would expect us to make moves soon enough.
Simon, your take, how do you look back on this season for the Belfast Giants?
Again, with regards to improving, yeah, we definitely did improve, but ultimately it's about winning. And, you know, again, I think the guys will be disappointed about not picking up a bit of silverware from this season, so it's disappointing that way. But you know, it's a year where we've had some really really good performances. We've had a couple of games there where you certainly would like to have done better. But we touched on it earlier in the show. You know, it's difficult for players coming into this league for the first year to get their head around. It's arse about face. You know, the most important trophy in British hockey is the league, and instead of basically working all year to prepare for the playoffs, they've got to get around their head that a loss in September is as bad as a loss in March. And if they get that round their head quicker, then I think they have a better chance of success.
I have to agree with both of you. I think that's, it is mixed of all four of those things that Stevie mentioned. I think that this team had quite a bit of potential that early on didn't seem to frustrate us all, because they showed flashes of what they could do. They went on that fantastic run and showed exactly what they could do. And right across the board, we've improved position numbers. You know, we've made the semi-finals of the playoffs. There has been significant progression. Special teams have progressed. Our home form's improved. Our away form's good. You know, across the board, this team has improved, and we've come second with a points haul that in the previous 4 years would have actually won the league. The reason we didn't win the league was because the Cardiff Devils had an exceptional season and were able to take that. And I think that's something that when we look back, that this team can actually be very proud of. At times they've been frustrating to watch. At times they've been wonderful to watch. And there'd be some number of players like Blair Riley, Ram Martinelli, and all those guys, Sheds and works, who will be coming back, and we're looking forward to see them, and we'll see who we've got next year. And we'll see. We'll start this circus all again in September, no doubt. Yes, and thanks to everybody for your fan agenda questions, not just today, not just this week, but all the way through the season. Yeah, we've had some wonderful questions. We seem to get more, as we said before, when the Giants aren't doing well than we do when the Giants are doing well. But that's just the matter of things. People have more questions. There are more questions to ask when things aren't going your way. But we really appreciate the interaction you guys fire our way. It really makes this show worthwhile. And it's really part of what we want to have here with A View from the Bridge. Any other business to close?
Says, if you have anything.
I just want to thank you two guys for breaking up on Tuesday nights. Mostly Tuesday nights, and you can throw Hitchy into doing a bit of it as well, and Aaron. And, you know, it's I still listen to the podcast even when I'm on it, because, you know, as Davey's already pointed out in this show, I talk a lot of crap most of the time. But, no, I really enjoyed doing my first year basically of regular appearances on the show, and it's good crack on a Tuesday night to try and vent your frustration / anger / happiness to a certain extent after a weekend of hockey. And the bit about it is that sort of pissed off as well is that there's, what am I going to do on a Tuesday night now between now and September? I have to find something else to do. So, but thank you very much to you too. It's been emotional.
You've been a right potty mouth in this episode, says.
Fuck, shut
that's
up.
A great machine.
there's one thing that's certain, says, that there's no chance that this podcast will be shutting down until September. I'm sure we'll probably be back next week anyway. But still there?
Yep, still there.
Yeah. Well, it all went very quiet there.
we're just paying attention to what you have to say.
Paying attention for the first time in a year. Yes, very good, sis. What was I going to say? Yes, a few thank yous. First of all, I had a call from Laura Small, the beautiful Laura Small, all the way from Texas, to say that she'd like to pass on her thank you to everyone that helped support all the things that she tried to do this year, the Scott Matska night, the night for Blake, all the little bits and pieces, and all the kids that she helped along the way. Dylan, Tom, I was already said about Blake. There's so many more kids that go on name that she looks after on a night by night basis at those games. And, you know, I think we're all very proud just to be associated with Laura, let alone Laura saying thank you. You know, we should be saying thank you to her. And I would just echo also what Sid said there. Just thank you to the used two guys and to Hitchy and Patty, and especially to all the guys in the locker room there that came on. Look, we try our best here. We're not pundits. We're just guys in a room giving an opinion. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we do things that annoy people, but we never do it intentionally. And without those guys coming on and having interviews, just don't think the product's as good. I'd like to thank the club for their support, Brooksy for everything he does every week, Derek Walser for fronting up nearly every single game of the season and every week of the season to come on the podcast and let the fans hear, you know, what's going on behind the scenes at the club. You know, without them, there isn't really much of a product. So, you know, does anybody just want to listen to two or three guys talking about hockey every week? I don't think so. So, you know, my thanks to Paddy for being the director general, just letting us be a little bit part of this. You know, we try to do it to add a little bit of value to people's weeks, and it's a lot of fun. As Sid says, it's a bit of therapy as well. So, terribly enjoyable, and probably do it all again next week.
We will be having a World Championship special in the next week or two when we're throwing a few interviews together. I know that Simon's chasing down a few of his old mates as well to throw into that. But I'll add my thanks to you. We've had 33 shows in this 12th season of A View from the Bridge. Only one person's got 100% record. Well done, Mr. McGimsey. But I have to add my thanks to you two gents, to Hitchy, to Aaron. It really is a team effort on this show, both on it and behind the scenes, when it comes to organizing interviews, when it comes to chatting to the guys, chasing down interviews down and everything besides it. It's, you know, Davey, it's Simon, it's Aaron, it's, you know, and a Hitchy coming in when I have to take some time off. And without that team effort, there wouldn't be a show. Likewise, you've mentioned the names there as well, Davey, Brooksy, for everything he throws our way. The likes of Colin Shields, who's come on loads of times. The lads in the locker room who have more often than not been fantastic, just being there at the drop of a hat for a chat. You know, some at short notice. Remember, like, I contacted Jonathan Boxall with an hour's notice, listen, because we didn't have an interview, can you chat this? And no problem, and on he comes. You know, we've had some fantastic interactions with all of the Giants, and hopefully that will continue. What else? Oh, around the league as well, EIHL coaches and players. We've had Tomo, we've had Mark Lefebvre, former friend of the show after what he put on Twitter earlier the other day. And we've had many others, but my main thanks as well is to everybody who's listening. Some fantastic interaction all through this season, be it on Twitter, be it when the people who came to our View from the Bridge Live just after Christmas. We even got emails, people chatting this in the rink. It is, we do this because we are just three lads, you know, Aaron and Hitchy, whatever, five lads, who just want to talk about hockey. It's our passion. It's the team that we enjoy watching. It's everything that we love about the game. And we just sit here and chat, and we're humbled that people tune in and listen to us. And, you know, if you'd like to continue listening to us, no doubt we'll be back for a few more times over the summer before we start this circus again in September. So yes, thank you to everybody. And gentlemen, I'll catch up with you soon.
Night, Paddy. Night, Davey.
Cheers, lads.
And wherever you are this summer, if you're not going to the World Championships, I don't know why, get yourself to the World Championships. We'll catch you here next time on the View from the Bridge.